Blog Talk Radio.
Blessed soul, here it comes to a higher inner frequency. Soul Class 366, whose presence is divine, part 3, as today we hope to pluck inspirations from a Hasidic discourse delivered by the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Zchusa Yogin Aleinu, in the year 5,711 years blazing and grazing into the creation, years blazing and grazing into the creation, corresponding to the solar calendar year 1951. Meanwhile, may the Most High Creator of all blessed creation bless you and your loved ones peacefully and pleasantly. And we're going to turn down the music from Here Comes the Time, extended version from Generation Redemption, album from Blessed Brother in Soul, Spirit and Prayer, Reb Isaac Patton, who happens also to be not just a member of the famous Frankel Shul here in Kessel Karnitz, but also the president of Beit Mazal. We hear authentic Jewish Sephardic chantings on Shabbat. So let's just turn down the music, please. Forgive me, Rabbi Isaac, and we're all ready to get ready. Everybody, get ready. And helping us get ready today is Rambam, activist, teacher, and student, and disseminator of teachings of Rabbi Moshe Ben Maimon, Maimonides, Dennis Ron. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Don. How are you today?
I'm fired up, Dennis, because I'm filled with a lot of inspiration, not just due to perspiration as I sit in my quite humid apartment, because when we do the radio show, we want the vibes to flow and grow, and we don't want that air conditioning sound to weed over into our humble efforts here in Soul Talk Radio. Dennis and Blessed Souls, our efforts, Dennis again and I today, we want to be very firm in our assertion that we are not the final authoritative opinion of anything we speak about, but rather we are culling together our experiences as human beings, blessed and graced with a divine image, to help those of you who are listening to us live right now. And by the way, if you want to chime in, we only have a 30-minute show, but your input is crucial. That's for sure. We are here to help individuals, based on the fact that we have a couple gray hairs in our beard, to help people deal with psychological and spiritual cognitive dissonance, which can come about from excessive mental stress and discomfort. It can be experienced by any human being who holds two or more contradictory beliefs, ideas, or values at the same time. And then all of a sudden they can get confronted by new information that could conflict with what they previously believed in or held to be an idea or a value. And therefore, most human beings, if they are what we call in the path of seeking wholeness, of balance, seek consonance, a sense of harmony. Now, we cannot give you harmony, blessed souls, because you are created by the Creator. You can attain it yourself with the blessings of the Most High, and of course, taking good counsel with others, friends, family, outer community, and even here in cyberspace, here in Blessed Block Talk Radio, and in our humble efforts here in Soul Talk Radio. Dennis, any take on the matter before we get into the meat of the program?
Yes, your music, introductory music, was very rousing. I was looking all around me thinking that I missed something, that there was a whole bunch of people here or something was going on special today. But anyway, yes, it did charge me up, and I do like to hear those human voices coming out with a lot of feeling behind them. It has a good effect.
True. Dennis, I want to share with you and everyone else out there. Yesterday, I was privileged in the organization I work in. I am not privy to say what organization I work in, but believe me, Buzzles, I work in a social service organization here in Boiler Room, Brooklyn, New York, and we were given a presentation of a wonderful film, which I want to promote now. I feel it's a mitzvah. It's something which is going to connect me closer to God by sharing with this information about this film that you can check out. The name of the movie is Here One Day. It was a film by Kathy Leiter. Now, maybe, Dennis, you might remember a Franz Leiter, who was a state senator from the late 60s to, I think, the mid-70s. And his wife, Nina Leiter, unfortunately committed suicide because she was not able to deal with her bipolar disorder. And filmmaker Kathy Leiter took the courageous stand to actually reveal what was going on in her mother's mind, because her mother had the insight to record her feelings and write down her feelings. And this movie is a living testimony to how a person deals with mental illness, in particularly bipolar disorder. So I just want to share with you, Blitzels, and hopefully in future shows, probably for the next, maybe for the next year, I don't know, I'm not sure, we will be sharing information about how to access this film, which you can, if you go to this website, www.hereoneday.com, there's a way you can rent it online. And it's also, Kathy goes around the country right now. She's also an award-winning filmmaker. But here she took the message a little bit to home, meaning to reveal something about herself, which takes a lot of courage, bless her soul, to do so, about how she dealt with her mother's illness, how she didn't deal with her mother's illness, and how she's dealing with now, and how does she deal with her own situation as a mother and filmmaker. And also, I want to promote the idea that this movie was made by, in fact, a woman, and it was also fiscally sponsored by an organization called WMM, Women Make Movies. So I want you, blessed souls, to be out there, to be aware of any of you artisans who are female. Check out and learn more about WMM, Women Make Movies, and make movies that will educate not only other women, but the male species, because we need a lot of education. Dennis, your take on these matters.
Well, we haven't had too many female movie producers. We did have one, and she, her first movie, second movie, came up for an Academy Award. I don't remember if she won. It was about the soldiers in Iraq. And, it was a very interesting picture. But what did distinguish it from the other pictures, it gave us a viewpoint from a woman's view. And that's something that we really haven't seen in public, because we normally have a man's view of what's
right.
going on. So right. this was a little different, and some critics liked it, some didn't, but it was educational in the sense that if you see the same thing that you think you see from a different angle, does it really change something? Well, that gets back to your introductory concept of being sane or insane. In the human world, that's a fine line.
Mm-hmm.
So we're always worrying about, are we real? Do we understand? Do we know what's going on? Do we know how to react? Do we have control? So I guess that's what the theme is today, Don, no?
Well, we're going to be talking about, Dennis, today about what we started. We've had already two previous programs on the matter of Shekhinah, Divine Presence. The emphasis last week, based on the elucidations of the first Lubavitch Rebbe, Rabbi Shmir Zalman of Liadi, was the idea of the proximity, the closeness of godliness to this physical earth, which we physical human beings live upon. And people, I think, grapple with the idea of, how do I take this unknowable, ultimately unknowable, unseeable, untouchable, untastable God, creator of all creation, and how do I develop a relationship with this dimension of creator who is revealed to us through the prophets, that there is a proximity of us to him. Of course, there's a proximity of him to us, but we are not as sensitive as we can be, and I speak of myself before anyone else. We have to develop our sensitivities. How do we strengthen that connection? I'd like to just allegorically simplify it. No matter how the child reacts as a baby, there is an impermissible connection between mother and father and the child. The child can sense that closeness, but because of the lack of cognitive development, say of a one-day-old child, a two-month-old child, a three-month-old child, up until the child can start to speak, the child cannot express their emotions through the faculty of speech, which distinguishes us as human beings for what we are communicators of the human word, as poverty-stricken as our human words are in relation to the speech of the Creator, we can in fact develop a relationship if we choose to. And one of the ways I'm suggesting to you, blessed those listening, either live or via the future archive version, is to understand that there are teachings from Torah written in oral traditions. We're going to be emphasizing today the oral Torah traditions about this proximity that we have to godliness. Not just that godliness is close to us, but we, in fact, as that child who has gone out of that prenatal stage and birth stage and starting to develop a cognitive connection between our right, left, and back brain functioning, that we can elaborate and talk with others about how, yes, we can strengthen our connection to our Father who resides in heaven, but the heaven that our Heavenly Father resides in is not a heaven of space. It is a heaven of spiritual content way beyond the imagination of human minds or even the knowledge of human minds, as the Creator in His essence resides, whatever that means, where He resides, because of course the Creator does not take up space. He is the source of all space, and this is something that Rambam talks about, that because He is, there is space. Dennis?
When we are born, we cut the umbilical cord. That's our disconnection with our mother on a physical basis. However, it begins the whole mental process. Your mind, when you're first born, has to realize that you have a relationship. It may be an imaginary relationship with your parents. It may be a spiritual umbilical cord there. But it's there, and it drives you. And as you start getting older, you learn from your parents, you learn from your school, and then you start learning from other people as you communicate and interact with them. But therein lies your problem. Our problem, all humans' problem. You start using your own mind, and you have to develop techniques, methodologies, and how to do analysis, reasoning, and everything else, because you must survive. So based on what you learn as you're getting older, you're surviving, and at the same time you're absorbing all and accumulating all sorts of knowledge. You have to apply that. To survive, you must handle things that are unknown to you. One of the biggest things will be God, the Almighty. Why? Because you can't see Him. There is no physical presence, but you must be able to accept Him in your mind. So He gave us the free will. You must use it. And based on our life here on earth, you must improve it.
Beautiful, Dennis. With that being said, now let's segue into, again, the meat of our program, our second elucidation concerning the Torah, oral Torah concept of Shekhinah, divine presence. Again, I'm plucking from an inspirational Hasidic discourse delivered by the Lubavitch Rebbe in 1951, corresponding to 5,711 years, according to the Hebrew lunar calendar. The second elucidation is provided to us by the Mittler Rebbe, the son of the first Lubavitch Rebbe, the author of Shneur Zalman of Liadi, who taught that Shekhinah, we can call it divine presence, one of the ways we can, is in fact presented in such a way, according to oral Torah traditions, that we should understand is divinely malleable, it is divinely flexible, and while it has already been explained, it was already explained to us in last week's program by his father, the Alter Rebbe, Admor HaZaken, also known as Rav Shneur Zalman of Liadi, how Shekhinah, divine presence, applies to the infinite light of the Creator, as it existed before any divine consideration concerning revealing creation, it is also the same Shekhinah, divine presence, which can be divinely downsized to a mere shimmering ray or string in relation to its source in the essence of the infinite light of the Creator. Now, before I turn to Dennis for a comment, I just want to mention here that, as it was just mentioned, that while there's a level of Shekhinah, divine presence, that existed before any divine consideration was given concerning revealing creation, again, we are being presented a teaching that in our feeble human minds in relation to Creator, because obviously among human beings there are strong minds and there are intermediate minds and there are weak minds, but we should understand that when we're talking about consideration or chronological sequences of how the Creator created the world, as we're basically talking about this type of matter, it has to be understood that ultimately, while we can understand the chronological presentation, it's on a higher order ultimately, to no measurable extent that we can understand it, how it really transpired. But again, because we have, the Torah speaks in the language of man and woman to draw the ear of man and woman to try to access these teachings, not because Creator had to go on a chronological time sequence to create creation, but to give us as human beings, his children, and we're all children of God, to understand that in order for us to create with our limited abilities to make it a better world as the proper stewards of the earth, and that's what human beings are, every one of us stewards of the earth, we should understand if Creator is instructing us through the oral Torah traditions that, so to speak, and I emphasize that word, so to speak, he went through a chronological order in creating creation. In order for us to create and to actualize our potentiality as stewards of the earth, we have to work within the order of chronological sequence. Dennis, your take on these matters.
Yes. God is with us. His presence is here. He is with you. The question is, do you want to be with him? So how can you go about this? You go about it by using your mind, accepting him, having faith and belief. And based on that and your confidence in handling the unknown, the unfuture, but having strong enough faith and belief to know that you're going to analyze and reason things out the correct way, everything will work out according to time. However, it doesn't mean that the God's presence is being defined by Scripture. No, it's being recognized, not defined. So therefore, if you want to take some good advice and some good suggestions, you will use the advice in Scripture to have better understanding as to how the direction that your mind should take in your relationship with the Almighty.
Right, and I just to amplify what you're saying, Dennis, so Scripture, and also I just want to add the idea of oral Torah tradition, identifies for us levels of consciousness of Creator's interaction with creation in order that we start to rumble and tumble conceptualizations as provided to us by the Torah, but from the Bible, in order that we formulate within our mind a type of order which can now subdue the sense of chaotic everyday perceptions of life. Well, life is just as it is. No, life isn't just as it is, blessed souls. Every moment of life is, in fact, it should be a celebration. In fact, in fact, those people who I have found in my brief 52 years on this planet Earth who seem to be the most successful people in terms of their own personal attainment of balance, and everyone, no one's attained balance and just keeps it balanced. You know, we get a little off balance, but I'm saying people I admire in my life, whether they be Jews or Noahides, are people who are always approaching life as every moment is a celebration, not a lamentation. They do make space in their lives for lamentation and crying because everything's a cycle. King Solomon wrote it. There's 14 times for good and there's 14 times for the opposite of good, which he wrote about in Ecclesiastes. But the point is, they understand that the moment is precious. And that moment that's precious is divinely fused with godliness that you can appreciate your existence here on earth. And feeding in further to the idea of Shekhinah, according to the Mittler Rebbe, the second Lubavitch Rebbe. In other words, Shekhinah, divine presence, and this is where I find people that I admire, that they have some sort of sensitivity to this. Shekhinah, divine presence, is revealed in every place according to Creator's divine will. For that place which Shekhinah, divine presence, has a proximity to, and the good news is, this is every place upon the planet Earth. Now, for an example, if we want to get a little more site-specific within this blessed creation, even in a realm above this blessed creation, we have a realm of intellect, which is identified in the inner dimensions of Torah, of Chassidus, as called the Olam of Atzilus, the divine world of intellect. But if we struggle with that idea, that there's a divine world of intellect, though I personally don't, because the Creator wants us to use wisdom. He has created wisdom as a terrarium, an aquarium, a framework for how human beings should, in fact, conduct his or her life. Shekhinah, divine presence, can be associated within also within the divine world of intellect via compartmentalizing intellect into 10 categories. As a world, it goes through 10 levels of gradation and diminution till it gets down to this level of divine conduit, or sphira, or chariot, which is called malchus, which is a divine attribute that human beings express when they speak. It's also a divine attribute which is has been given throughout history of the human family experience for people who are kings and queens. But yet, this level, this divine attribute, or sphira, or chariot, called malchut, is merely just one-tenth of the entire realm of divine intellect. Or if you think about, blessed says, when you speak to one another, you're only using a small portion of your intellect, which is distilled and kind of like pressed through a condensation through whatever feelings you have in your heart, and then is exuded out through the breath, empowered by your lungs, going through the respiration process and going through your vocal cords and then going through your five articular organs to bring out a piece of wisdom. But of course, when you speak that piece of wisdom coming out through your blessed breath and your blessed speech, that's not the whole picture. But what it is a hopefully, if it's a real true piece of wisdom, it's nutritionally dense material to help yourself, and hopefully as well, and the main point is to help other people with sharing such wisdom. So the Mittler Rebbe wants us to know that Shekhinah, while it is every place, can also be site-specifically notated as a place where it can be identified with as well the process of human speech rooted in this level called Malchus. And in fact, there's a oral Torah tradition that when the prophets would speak, I'll say it in Hebrew, then we'll translate to English, then we'll turn to Dennis for feedback, HaShechina Medaberes B'toch Grono, that the divine presence is actually speaking through his throat. So a prophet, a prophetess, because there have been many female prophets as well, a prophet is merely a loudspeaker for bringing down the divine presence through teachings which other human beings can relate to. Dennis, your take on these matters.
My take is that you can accumulate wisdom, but before you have wisdom, we expect humans to have some common sense. Common sense means that you understand time to a certain extent. It comes in three parts: history, now, and tomorrow. Mm-hmm. If you don't know what you're doing now, for the moment, after another moment, it's going to be in history and you can't pull it back because you lost it. Now, that's inefficient and you're wasting it. The successful people know that and understand that very simple concept because they're planning and they're looking forward to what they're going to do in the future. So they're ready for tomorrow. They're ready for the next hour. They're ready for the next couple of minutes. But they don't waste time, because time is of the essence, and that's an old cliche, but we're here on a limited basis. If you're not using your time efficiently, then you're wasting it. If you're wasting it, you're not accepting all those things that could help you to enjoy it, feel better, create a harmony, and that is your connection with God. If you don't know how to set it up, improve it, and use it, then you are watching your moments go by into history and say goodbye to them.
Mm-hmm. Dennis, believe it or not, we've come to end another humble effort, and I want to thank you profusely for your input, which I only put in the category of wise and full of understanding and full of knowledge. And so before we depart from our blessed soul class listenership, whether live or archived, would you like to share with our human family experience gathering circle one last tidbit before we sign off?
If you don't pray, you should pray, because there is some benefit in it. I can't explain it to you in words. It's something you personally will realize. And once you start praying, you will feel like you have made a connection to the presence of God.
Thank you, Dennis. And we're going to end up with a prophetic teaching before we go into our, we exit out with our flagship ending music by Blessed Brother and Soul and Spirit over on the other side of the Atlantic, David Dome. I'm plucking out Blessed Souls from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, verse 5. We're going to read verses 5, 6, and 7, and here we go. Build houses and settle. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and give forth sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters to men, and let them give birth to sons and daughters. Multiply there. Do not let your numbers diminish. Seek the peace of the city to which I have exiled you, and pray to it, to Almighty Creator, for through its peace, the city which you pray for its peace, will you have peace. Blessed souls, unfortunately, we've had too many shootings in the last couple of weeks here in Boiler Room, Brooklyn, New York, and some people are saying it's because of this political reason or this change in policy. Blessed souls, we have to pray. Pray not just for the peace of Brooklyn. Pray for the peace of the Middle East. Pray for the peace in Africa. Please pray for the peace of South and Central America and Northern America and Canada and Alaska and Asia and Australia and the islands outside the African continent and anywhere else there could be a habitation of the human family experience, because we've got to understand, blessed souls, that our prayers are so potent. Let not another person tell you there is no potency in human prayer, because the person who does not believe in the potency of human prayer has trouble dealing with the idea of divine image. But helping us now to help deal with the divine image, to understand that let his name be won by David Dome, will help us get back home to understand our divine image, will help us get off in scrimmage. Our telemokim is no dream. And remember, so if we understand, let his name be won, let's all call upon the Creator with one accord. There will be no more discord. And we're going to take the sword and turn it into a plowshare, because that's what we really care about. Seeing plowshares, the multiplication and the exponential growth of plowshares and the gradual and ultimately destruction of all weapons of war of humanity and brotherly and sister and human love unabashedly flooding the earth to greet Mashiach Tzikenu, our righteous Messiah, who roar out Torah Chadashah, an insight into Torah that even the great ones of the past and the ancient ones of Israel and the Noahides were not privy to. Here we go. Let his name be won by David Dome. Remember, blessed souls, you can be good, because the Teva Tov LeHetev, the nature of the good is to do good, and the Creator, who is the source of all goodness, allows you to be good. Just remember that goodness that is in proximity to you is able, it enables you to be good as well. David Dome's Let his name be one. Take care, everyone. So we ran into a little glitch here. I kind of blew that one. So we're going to go back to David Dome. Please have a little patience with me. And let's go back to David Dome. And we're going to get back, Let His Name Be One. Oy, that was a real glitch, but the song is so good I just have to play it over. So please bear with me as we call up that song again. Oy, we made him a boo-boo, but that's okay. And here we go again, blessed souls, with Bum-ba-dum-bum-bum. Bum ba dum bum bum. You know, I'm going to change Murphy's Law, blessed souls, to Don's Law, because I seem to be doing a better law fulfilling Murphy's Law than Murphy ever dreamt of. Here we go. Just hold it on. Let's hold. Oh, here we go. Here we go. Blessings. Here we go. Again, let his name be won by David Dome. Take care, everyone.